Hey, what's up, Chicago? Guess what? That's right. It is Friday, September the 16th, 2016, and Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church, and we have an outstanding show for you today. Man, it is Praise Break Friday. It is Praise Break Friday, and man, I am excited to be here. So much stuff going on. And I really want to just, I'm going to go ahead and get through the start of this show so I can get myself in the right frame of mind because there's some things that I need to say in the next 5 minutes or so. So I'm going to try to maintain. I'm going to need LaTanya, my producer, to keep the mute button or the commercial button ready, please. That's what I'm going to say. Please keep the mute button or the commercial button ready, cause yeah, it's probably about to be like that. I am. Let me give you the rundown on how you can contact the show. If you're already listening via Blog Talk, meaning you've already called in, rather, you're listening on your phone, simply push 1 and you can be a part of the show. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, real simple, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, this area code 347-934-0546. If you are listening if you are on social media, so are we. Simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO radio. We'd love to have you be a part of the show there. If you want to tweet the show, you can tweet the show. Real simple, you can tweet the show. At TTLO Radio. Again, that's at TTLO Radio. We would love for you to tweet the show. We'd love to read that tweet on the air. If you want to email the show, you can email the show. Real simple to do. Email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Real simple to do. We'd love to read that email on the air as well. If you want to watch the show, the live stream of the show is up and running. Do me a favor, those of you on Ustream. Y'all watching me on Ustream, can you all hear me on Ustream? I'm not getting a volume read back for those of you on Ustream. The chat room is open, but go to Ustream.tv and do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. Again, go to Ustream.tv, Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and we'd love to make sure you guys are there. And you can watch the live stream right there. I just put a task out to ask you guys, can you hear me on Ustream? Whoever's in there, I see the room is already starting to fill up. You all come on in, press on in. Facebook Live. Facebook Live is up and running. I do see that is up and running. Facebook Live. Those of you on Facebook Live, just simply go to facebook.com/TTLO radio. You should be able to find me there. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO radio. You can find me there. You can find us there. Yeah, I'm not getting a read at all on Ustream. Not sure what's going on, why we're not getting the volume read. I see the picture, I see the sound, the volume is right, everything is good where it's supposed to be, but I just am not getting a volume read. So those of you watching on Ustream, please let me know if you can hear me, if you can actually hear me on Ustream. Let me know if y'all can hear me. Not sure if you all can hear me on Ustream. Okay, all right. I know y'all can hear me on Facebook. I know we good over there. And last but not least, subscribe to the podcast. Real simple, go to iTunes, do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon. Under the podcast section, and you should be able to find us there. Yeah, that's where we are. So, y'all, look, it is Praise Break Friday, right? And y'all know normally we come in on Fridays and I'm excited. And I'm still excited. I can't even front. I'm still excited that it's Praise Break Friday. I'm still excited about it. However, I do need to there is something that is on my mind that I need to share with you all, I said that I was going to stop. I was going to try and stop watching the news as much before coming to the studio. But I enjoy watching the news in the morning, and it's helpful for me to keep up with current events and things that are going on in the city. It's just one of those things where I really wanted to stop watching the news for a while just so I could get my, you know, because a lot of times you let so much of that stuff into your spirit and it kind of dictates your thoughts, and these things are kind of stuck in your head. Again, those of you on Ustream, I'm not sure if you all can hear me on Ustream. Let me know in the chat room. The chat room is open there. Let me know if you can hear me on Ustream. Okay. So this morning, the news put out a message. All of the news mediums, different news organizations, put out a message that Donald Trump was finally going to acknowledge that Barack Obama was born in the United States. I'm going to give you a little history. Back in 2008, when Barack Obama was first running for president of the United States, and let me say this. If you're just tuning in, I know this is not a political show. I know this is not a news show. I know this is not that type of program. So I really hope those of you listening will just bear with me. I'm gonna try to get through this. I'm gonna try to maintain some semblance of something, and then we're gonna move on with the show. But I feel the need to address this. So in 2008, Barack Obama was running for president of the United States. That was when he ran. And part of one of the things that came up was so much different controversies that came up while he was running. And one of the biggest ones that came up against him, one of the biggest ones that came up against him was this notion that he – was not an American citizen, that he was not an American citizen. And this movement was called the Birther Movement. It was called the Birther Movement. And part of this group was saying that they wanted proof that Barack Obama was an American citizen. Again, I see people coming in Ustream. I see y'all coming in. Let me know in the chat room, those of you in Ustream, that you can actually hear me, because I'm not showing a volume read on my Ustream screen over here. So if you can hear me, go in the chat room. Let me know whether or not you can hear me, those of you coming into Ustream. So Donald Trump, along with Sarah Palin, and a bunch of other people said that that Barack Obama was not an American citizen. Thereby, he should be disqualified as a candidate for president. And more, that he should not even be allowed. He shouldn't be allowed to be president. He is illegally president of the United States. He is illegally the president of the United States because he is not an American, natural-born American citizen, because they kept saying that he was born in Kenya because his father was Kenyan, even though his mother was here in America and they were in Hawaii when he was born. They keep saying that he was born in a different area. So I'm asking again, can you all hear me on Ustream? I just want to make sure, because if not, you may need to switch, or I need to figure out what's going on, because I'm not getting the chats. If you're sending me a message, definitely not getting the chats. Okay, so anyway, so for years, the first 4 years of Obama's presidency, all the way up until last year, Donald Trump jumped on this movement demanding that President Obama release his birth certificate, demanding that President Obama release. Okay, so you cannot hear on Ustream both devices. Okay, I apologize, Ustream, for those of you who can't hear me. I'm not sure what's going on. I'm really not sure what's going on with the Ustream audio. Really don't know what's going on. I'm going to see if I can switch it back to the camera feed, but not real sure what's going on the Ustream side. Anyhow, so he has been on this notion that and has been promoting this thought process that our current president is not the rightful president because he is not an American citizen. That has been his stance from the beginning. And one of the things that I am just at a loss is today he decided that he was going to, his campaign released a note yesterday saying that we recognize that President Obama is an American citizen. That we recognize that President Obama is an American citizen. Okay. This is what he said. So then he calls out today and calls a press conference on the matter to say the following, that he's going to make a announcement acknowledging this information that we've already known, that he's going to make that announcement. Okay. I understand once again that there's no volume on Ustream. I'm really not sure. When I take a break, I'll come back in. Y'all bear with me on Ustream for a while. Y'all just, if you can, switch over to Facebook. Tanya, if you could do me a favor, could you post the Facebook Live link to the people here on Ustream so they can switch over? Because I need to finish this. Okay. So he calls this press conference. And every news organization is at this press conference. In the background of this press conference, oh my God, I'm really trying not to just go all the way off. But in the background of this press conference, he decides he's going to have a. He has all of these retired Army personnel, Navy personnel, Air Force personnel standing with him, and he acknowledges them, and then he then steps away from the microphone. And for the next 25 minutes, with all of the media attention, we get 25 minutes of these news media people, these Army, retired Army people, Navy, Air Force, Marines, praising Donald Trump, saying why he should be the next president of the United States. Mind you, the headline on every television channel you turn to, Fox News, MSNBC, CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC, all of them said Trump to address birth certificate issues with or birthing issues of Barack Obama. Okay. So for 25 to 30 minutes, we get this thing where these people are praising Donald Trump. And then they finally reintroduce Donald Trump. He stands at the microphone. He stands at the microphone and simply says this. He says, Hillary Clinton in 2008, this is what he said now, Hillary Clinton in 2008 started the birther movement, and he finished it. He says again, Hillary Clinton started the birther movement, and then said he finished it. President Obama was born in the United States. That's what he said. President Obama was born in the United States. That's the end of the conversation, period. That's what he said. Now, mind you, for the last 7 years, this man has gone on every television station, every newspaper, anybody that would give him 5 minutes and say that our current president is not the rightful president because he was not born in this country. That's what he's been saying. Even after, he didn't have to, but even after, watch this now, even after the birth certificate was released, Donald Trump still says, this was in 2011, he still says that the birth certificate was false, that he has it on good information. That the birth certificate was false. This was in 2012. He was saying this. Just last year, he said again that President Obama is not a natural born citizen of this country. This is what he said. But today, he says Hillary Clinton started this with her campaign in 2008, and I'm finishing it. I need and Rudy Giuliani, Rudy Giuliani, the former mayor of New York, went so far as to say, there is some suspicion around the birth certificate. This man, my God, oof, Jesus, okay. This man says that that's the end of the discussion because he finished it. And he's saying he finished it. He says it's because of him that Obama released his birth certificate. Because of him. So by him doing that, he says he finished it. That is the comparison. That's like me getting in my car, running somebody over, turning around, driving them to the hospital, dropping them off in the emergency room, and turning around and telling the news media, hey, y'all, I just saved his life. Donald Trump has used this platform. He blew up in the political realm because of this lie about our president not being an American citizen. That's how he blew up. That's how his name got big. Because he says that our president was not the legal president of the United States. Can I help y'all with something? And I'm telling y'all right now, I might need to go to the doctor after I leave the show because my tongue is bleeding because I am biting it profusely. I am biting it to stop myself from saying what I really, really want to say. However, let me explain something to y'all. He has used the news media like no one has ever used them before. Can I help you all with something? Have you seen many Donald Trump commercials for president? You know why you haven't seen them? You know why he's constantly saying, I haven't spent any of my own money on advertisement? You know why he's constantly able to say that? He's able to say that because he has manipulated this thing so much that every time he gets ready to say something, every news camera shows up, and then he lies or flips the story or changes it. He gets 25 to 30 minutes of free airtime. Watch this. immediately after he made his announcement today, he took the pool reporters. Oh, my God, help me, Jesus. He took the pool reporters to see his new hotel because that's where they are. They were on the location of his new hotel, and he only allowed, watch this, the cameras to follow him on the tour for the hotel. The producers for all of the news organizations were told they could not go in. Y'all stay with me now. Please don't be stupid, people. My people. I'm talking to my black folk right now because I see y'all every now and then, a handful of y'all standing behind this fool, and y'all don't pray. Y'all pray for the preacher. Please pray for the preacher, y'all. Pray for the preacher. Pray for me, y'all. I'm so serious right now. Y'all sit there and listen to him, and all he did was use this time to promote his new hotel. So now the cameras follow him to the new hotel. He physically, watch this now, his people physically stopped one of the producers. This is fact. This is still going on right now. Stopped the news producer from ABC News from entering into with the rest of the pool so that he would not have to answer any questions because he knows questions are going to come up about this. He believes because he finally said what we all already knew, that this is the end of this conversation. But I'm going to tell y'all something right now. I'm going to tell y'all this right now, and I know he's a candidate for president, and I know threatening the candidate. Ooh, my God, y'all pray for me right now. Pray for the preacher, y'all, please. But Donald Trump needs his natural assurance kicked. He needs his behind. Somebody. My. Oh, Lord. Yeah. I mean, and then the smugness of it. Let me tell you how serious this got. Y'all know I watch Fox News, right? And I only watch Fox News because I like to know what folks, you know, how folks think that don't think like me. So I watched Fox News. Fox News was sitting there like, did we really just keep the camera on this dude for this? They were taken aback. The reporter was like, I cannot, like, really? Like, is this it? Is this all we get? Is this all he's going to tell us? Is he not going to say anything? Done. I'll go a step further. Y'all know Donald Trump is all about self-promotion. That's the only reason he's gotten where he's gotten. That's the only reason he does what he does. It's all about Trump. That's the reason why in the city of Chicago right now, we have all these beautiful landscapes, all these beautiful buildings, and the only building in the city of Chicago that's got some obscene, ridiculous, over-self-absorbent name on it is the Trump Tower. The only one. Watch what happens. And mark my words, y'all put it down. It's 12:24 Central, 12:25 now, Central Time, Chicago, Illinois. When Donald Trump loses this election, mark my words that I said this on September 16th. When Donald Trump loses this election, he is going to come on television about a month or so after it's all over. He is going to be back on somebody's television screen, and he's going to say the following words: I ran the best campaign ever ran. I ran a campaign where I used the news media to put my message out, and I ran a campaign where I didn't have to spend any of my own money because this campaign was ran because I was able, because I'm smarter than everybody else. I know more than anybody else, and I was able to manipulate the system so much that I spent little to none of my own money and had the Republican Party spend billions, billions to get my message out. And yes, I may have lost the race, but at the end of the day, I won because I was able to promote who? Trump. That's what he's going to say. I promise you, that's what he's going to say. I don't care what you, you ain't got to believe me. I promise you, this is what he's going to say. Because it is amazing, absolutely amazing to me that this happened, and we're gonna sit back and not pay any attention to it. I cannot wait until the first debate. Again, no, this is not a political show. No, it's not. It's not a political show. It's a Christian-based talk show. But I would have been remiss in my duties to you all if I did not mention this to you. I would be remiss in my duties. Because this, all he did was play the media today for 45 minutes. Trump's going to make an announcement. Trump's going to make an announcement. Trump's going to make an announcement. And his announcement lasted all of 20 seconds. The news media had the cameras on him. He had every channel for 45 minutes. But his announcement lasted the last 20 seconds. And y'all keep following this man. And then if you look at the background, please take some time today. I know it's going to kill you to do it, but just look at the people in the background. It's a couple of us in the background smiling at this mess. It is. And it just makes no sense whatsoever. None. None. None at all. Look, y'all, I'm going to take a break, man. I got to go. I got to take a break because it's so much. But I need to take a break. I need to take a break. So look at y'all. I'm going to take a quick break. And, my Lord, my. I'm going to go and take this break. And when we come back, we're going to jump right into some more good conversation. Y'all been listening. It's TTLO, y'all. It's Friday. It's Praise Break Friday. We're going to get it in a minute. I promise you we are. We'll be right back, y'all. TTLO.
We hope that you're enjoying today's broadcast. If you have any questions or simply would like to comment on today's show, please give us a call at 347-934-0546, or you can reach us at 855-381-8804. We would like to hear from you.
Okay. All right. I just need to take that little breather, give myself a chance to figure out. Again, those of you watching on Ustream, not sure what's going on with my volume over there. Not sure if something got disconnected or what. Not real sure about that because, I'm going to assume nothing got disconnected. But, yeah, something, as in the words of Key Sweat, something just ain't right. So I'm not sure what it is, but we're going to get it. We're going to try to get it figured out. Let me read some of the comments on Facebook. Let me see if I can get some of the comments on Facebook. Let's see. Sounds like bait and switch. Donald Trump flip-flops more than a fish out of water. This gimmicky pull doesn't surprise me. This whole thing is a joke. The media is just as much as fault because they encourage the nonsense. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right, Yolanda. Angela Johnson. No, it's God's show, and we talk about issues and business concerns. Paula White, McClendon, Copeland, other sick-minded folks. I promise you this election goes down in history. African-American folk will go out in groves because we need to make sure Trump knows we are the people. Can I talk about this? Now, I was going to leave this alone, but you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right about this. And I need to say this with all sincerity. He keeps saying that his numbers in the African-American communities are growing exponentially. This is what he said, y'all. He says, my numbers are skyrocketing in the African-American community. That's what he said. My numbers are extremely skyrocketing in the African-American community. You wouldn't believe how many blacks like me That's what he said. He said, you wouldn't believe how many blacks like me. Now, I don't know exactly what he's looking at. And don't get me wrong. There are going to be some black folks that vote for Donald Trump. Just like there were some black folks that voted for George Bush. Just like there were some black folks that voted for his daddy Bush. Just like there were some black folks that voted for Mitt Romney. Just like there were some black folks that voted who's the guy that ran against Obama the first time? The old dude, the senator out of Arizona. Can't think of his name right now. Come on, somebody help me out, y'all. Help me out. What's the man's name? The old man that ran against him. That was Palin's running mate. Y'all help me out now, y'all. My mind done left me. Y'all help her. Help the pastor. Help the preacher, y'all. Come on, so help the preacher. McCain. Thank you. McCain. It was some black folks that voted for McCain too. But can we educate America for a second? Can we all get educated for a hot second? These are the same people that's voting for Trump. These ain't new people. These are not new people that are voting for Trump. These are not new people. These are the same folk. And don't get me wrong. I understand that and again, I've said this on this show, and I'll say it again. I love the comparison, and I will keep using it. I don't like either candidate in this election. I really don't. I don't like either candidate in this election. But as someone said to me before, voting for either one is like choosing the dog with the least amount of fleas. It's like choosing the dog with the least amount of fleas. So yeah, I am not trying to tell y'all who to vote for. That's not at all what I'm attempting to do. So please don't take it that way. Please don't take it that way. Again, I apologize for those of you on Ustream. Not sure what's happening with the volume on Ustream. I may end up restarting the computer and restarting the broadcast over there on Ustream. So that may help the situation. That may help it. If it does, great. If not, we'll figure something out. We will definitely figure something out. It's oh my God, it's just amazing to me. It's just absolutely amazing to me that we can be so asleep. Don't y'all fall asleep. And I'm not talking to my people here in Chicago. Because, see, watch this. It ain't about Chicago, y'all. It ain't about Chicago. Because ain't no way he gonna win the state of Illinois. I'm talking to the rest of you all listening around the country. I am talking to the rest of my listeners who don't live in the state of Illinois. Don't y'all go to sleep and let this and don't y'all go to sleep on election day. Because let me explain something to you. By you not voting, it's just like you're voting. By not going out to vote, it's just like you're voting. So please don't be crazy. Don't be crazy and believe by staying home you're helping the situation. Please don't be crazy and think that. Please don't. Don't be crazy and think that. Because it is not going to help the situation by staying at home. You got to go out there and vote. You have got to get out and vote. I don't care what job you work. I don't care how poor you are. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care how much you say you don't care. You have got to get out and vote one way or the other. And can I say this? Going out and voting, please, Jesus, going out and voting for the Libertarian candidate is a wasted vote. You might as well not vote. I don't even know the man's name. I don't know his name. But I saw him in an interview the other day, and they were asking him some stuff about what was going on in Syria, and he didn't have a clue about what was being talked about, which let me know I no longer need to give him any more of my time. But I'm going to tell y'all this, and I'm going to move on because I know this is not a political forum. However, y'all need to get out and vote. Don't, and let me tell you this. If by the if by some reason, now I am a little nervous. Can I tell y'all why I'm nervous? Because y'all know there is a prophecy that's been out for a long time. Can I talk about it? Y'all know, according to the good Dr. Gerald Emdu from the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, on a very small scale, as he told me on Wednesday, I'm something like a prophet. That's what he told me on Wednesday. He told me this on Wednesday. He say on a very narrow line, I'm something like a prophet, even though it only pertains to the Chicago Bears. But can I tell y'all something right now? The Cubs look like they might win the World Series, right? And y'all have heard this statement for the longest time. If the Cubs win the World Series, the world is coming to an end. People have said if the Cubs win the World Series, that hell will freeze over. Well, I come by today to tell you, not because I have any prophetic unction, not because I have been spoken to by the Holy Ghost, not by any of those reasons, but I come by here this morning to tell y'all there is a chance that if in October, and as much as I love the Cubs, I would love to see them win, but if the Cubs win the World Series in October, there is a in October, that means in November, 53 days from now, there is an absolute chance that enough folks in this country can be so sleep that they allow this man to become president of the United States. If this happens, I'm going to tell you all this right now. First of all, if you ain't got a church, you better find one. And even if you got a church, you better get right in your church. Because if this man becomes president of the United States, Jesus ain't coming soon. He already on the way. Matter of fact, he already got one foot on the ground. I'm going to tell y'all that right now. If this man becomes president of these United States, I promise you, it ain't going to be too long for the Lord himself show up. I'm going to tell y'all what I know. I'm going to tell y'all. I'm just trying to tell y'all. Don't let this man get in office. Don't let this. Y'all got family and friends all over the country. Y'all got for Angela. I know, Angela. But y'all got family and friends all over the country. These folk got to get out and vote. They have to. I'm just trying to tell you. They have to get out and vote. We cannot just sit by y'all. It can't happen. I'm trying to tell you it's gonna be a problem. I'm trying. What would you say stop? I'm telling you, I'm gonna be like Enoch. Come on. Look. I ain't trying to scare folk. I'm trying to tell y'all the truth. Y'all better show up at these polls. Y'all better show up. You better call your cousin them in California, your uncle that don't vote in Ohio, your friends that don't vote in North Carolina, your cousin that live down in South Carolina that don't vote. Y'all better call your people and tell them they better get out and vote. I'm telling y'all right now. I'm just telling you right now. Let's move on. Can we talk about something else? I'm done with this Trump mess. So y'all remember friend of the show, Dr., former mayoral candidate, former presidential candidate, Dr. Willie Wilson. Y'all remember him, right? Y'all remember we used to have some Willie Wilson sound on the show, but I deleted it off of the thing. But y'all remember Dr. Willie Wilson. Amen. Amen. And I agree with you. We do need to do something and mobilize. And actually, it's something I am working on. I'll hit you after the show is over, because there is something that we do need to do, especially in our communities and not just here locally, because Illinois is not really what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about the other states, because, you know, I'm just trying to tell y'all. But Dr. Willie Wilson, on, I believe it was yesterday, launched this campaign where yesterday he bailed out people who had been in jail for some time because they could not pay their fine or could not pay their bail and were in jail for a minimal amount of either having a minimal amount of marijuana or a minimal amount of crack cocaine. Let me read you the Sun-Times article real quick. Let me read you the Sun-Times article. I'm sorry, the Tribune article real quick. This is what it says. This is dated yesterday. Dontell Mohead, 28, was one of six people bailed out of jail Thursday by former mayoral candidate Willie Wilson as part of his Good Samaritan bond pilot project. Taking photos with clergy, politicians, and Wilson near the Lytton Criminal Court building, Mohead grinned and exclaimed, "I feel like a celebrity." Mohead was being held on a charge of financial identity theft, said he didn't believe it was real when he was told Wednesday afternoon that he would be getting out of jail. Wilson bonded him out for $500. The project, funded by Wilson, will help inmates charged with misdemeanors who can't afford to post bail. Okay. Wilson announced in June that he, you know, okay, so we got all that. So then he says, the other people were bailed out. He says, "You really don't get opportunities like this, especially Chicago, with all the crime and misjudgments of character. So when they gave me a chance, I really didn't know what to do. I couldn't sleep at all last night. I was just so happy." Wilson originally planned to commit $15,000, but promised Thursday to put $50,000 toward bailing out inmates through 2017. Wilson said he provided a list of potential beneficiaries. He was provided a list of potential beneficiaries by the Cook County Sheriff's Office and plans to have diverse recipients because the project was not a black thing but a human thing. He hopes to bail out up to 5,000 people by 2017. The Cook County Jail has 344 detainees. Watch this, y'all. The Cook County Jail has 344 detainees who need $1,000 or less to be released. Of that, 188 people, or 55%, are charged with misdemeanors, according to Kara Smith, Chief Policy Officer for the Sheriff's Office. So people are sitting in jail right now. 344 people are sitting in the Cook County Jail right now because they could not afford their bonds or bails that were less than $1,000. Yesterday, inmates Kevin Nesbitt was bonded out for $500 after being charged with criminal trespass. Another one was bonded out for $350, charged with retail theft. Another one, $500, charged with criminal trespass. The amount he paid yesterday was $2,850. Let me get through this. Was $2,850, and then a total of $4,050 was the total contribution as of yesterday. Now, this is a good thing. Let me make sure I am very clear in my statement that this is a good thing. This is a great thing. Here is this. One of these, I'm reading some of the comments. Some of these people were in jail because they got caught shoplifting. Some were in jail because they were trespassing. The one gentleman I just read, he was trespassing in a vehicle that didn't belong to him, meaning he was inside somebody else's car doing something he had no business. Another one was criminal trespass on property, meaning he was somewhere he had no business and was locked up. Now, I don't know the circumstances because we don't have all the different case information. However, y'all, if you in somebody's car, you ain't got no business rifling through their glove compartment looking for something to steal. Y'all stay with the preacher. If you in somebody's store shoplifting. Now, mind you, if your bail was $500, That had to mean you were stealing something. Come on now. Come on now. Y'all stay with the preacher. You were stealing something. Come on, y'all. Come on now. Let's be real about this thing. Let's be real about this thing. Okay, the sound and everything is back on Ustream. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. The sound, everything is back on Ustream. Don't know why it went away, but it's all back. What I want to say is this. It's great that some of these people are getting out of jail because they aren't able to do anything. If they're stuck in jail, and that means that's more money coming out of taxpayer dollars to house these people, because if they're in jail for less than $1,000, that means that we taxpayers are being forced to pay the taxes to keep them fed and housed all day, every day. So you're absolutely right. I agree this is something that needs to be done. But there is a larger scale issue here. There is a larger scale issue here. Yes, I agree that these people needed to be released. Yes, I believe in most cases, if we be honest, people of a different color would have been released on their own reconnaissance. Come on now. They would have been released without bail. Let's just be honest. They would have been released without bail. There wouldn't have been any question. They would have been released without bail. But can we take this a step further? And I've mentioned this before, and I'm gonna move on because I know this is gonna be. I know this. What's up, Alex? What's up, bro? How you doing, man? Glad to see you. But you're absolutely right, Angela. Most of them need to still be in jail. Most of them still should be in jail. There are quite a few folk that's in jail that still need to be in jail. Now, I'm going to tell you who don't need to be in jail. Can I say this? Now, I know this not finna go over well. I know some of y'all finna get mad at me. I know it's finna happen. But don't get mad at me, in the words of my fellow clergy person, Reverend Vanilla Hewlin, ain't nobody finna get mad but the devil. Can I say this? Locking men up who have not paid child support is about the dumbest thing I've ever seen or heard in my whole black life. Taking folks' driver's license who don't pay child support is about the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my whole black life. Can I talk about this for a minute and move on? I got to tell y'all, first of all, as a former child support payer, can I talk about it? Can I talk about 7-6? Can I talk about 764-92? Can I talk about it? How you going to lock folk up because they ain't got a job to pay child support? Then you lock them up, take away their driver's license. Now they can't get a job or can't get out to find a job. Now you got them in jail. Now they have, if I'm not mistaken, y'all pray for the preacher. Now they got a record. Because they've been arrested for failure to pay child support. Can y'all help the preacher? What? How is that even legal? Now, I know I got some women watching and listening to the show. I know some of y'all might have just hung up on me. Some of y'all just got off the air. Some of y'all don't want to hear the show no more. You know what? In the words of my silent partner, build yourself a bridge and get over it. Can I talk about it? I cannot understand. I have been in court because I had to go to court when I had to pay child support. I had to go to make sure it was all on the up and up, you know, take a little test, do all that stuff. Can I talk about it? I'm talking about it. I witnessed firsthand. Watch this now. How they brought people in from the back room. In orange uniforms, the jumpsuit, you know, the one that say DOC on the back or DOCC, Department of Cook County. Uh-huh. I saw them bring these men in the room. Watch this now. In shackles. Y'all going to get, oh, Lord. I know it's Praise Break Friday. I know it is. Y'all pray for the preacher. Bring them in shackles because they got them in and out first. So those of us who were not in shackles, at least not the physical ones, we were sitting in the rest of the courthouse. Watch this. Some came in shackles and stood before the judge. And the judge and the district attorney stood there and said the following words. Mind you, they in orange jumpsuits and they got on shackles and handcuffs. They stand before the judge in shackles and handcuffs, meaning they just came from the jailhouse. This is the questions that they got asked. Mr. Johnson, have you been able to find a job? I'm going to pause right there for a minute and let the slow people who are listening to me catch up. Mr. Johnson, have you been able to find a job? Mr. Johnson, have you been able to pay any amount of money on this back child support? Now, let me go on record and say this. I don't pretend to be the smartest individual in the world. I don't pretend. I know some of y'all will say that I think I know it all, but absolutely I do not. So the thing, let me correct that real quick. The stuff I know, I absolutely know. Let me say that. How the ever, I don't know everything about everything. But if you bring a man in front of the courthouse, in front of the judge, in shackles and handcuffs, and then you ask him the following question, have you been able to find a job? Now, I know I have to wear glasses, these right here. I know I have to wear them to see far distances because I have a problem. I think they call that nearsighted. But Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles, the three blind boys from Alabama, and the late, great Roy Orbison, Helen Keller could see that ain't no way in red hell, blue hell, or yellow hell, they was able to look for a job when you done had they behinds locked up for the last 25 to 30 days. What job were they looking for, Your Honor, Mr. Prosecutor, that they were going, what job were they looking for to pay child support when they've been locked up for not paying child support? What job were they going to get to when you have suspended their driver's license so that they could not drive because they were not paying child support? Can somebody help me with this? I ain't talking about the ones who could pay and refuse to pay, but I'm talking about this law. And I don't know if this is just in Illinois. I believe it's in a couple of other places. But how do you think this is legal? Help me, Jesus. How do you believe this is legal to lock some folks up for not paying child support? Can I ask a question? Do we lock up the husbands who don't pay alimony, court-ordered alimony? Are they locked up? Are their driver's license suspended? Can I talk about it? Huh? I wish I had Is Chris Hicks around? I wish I had Chris Hicks here to put me in D. Can we talk about this thing? If you don't lock up the guy, the husband, for not paying alimony, why? Because you know eventually he's going to go to work and you going, how you going to garnish the check if I can't get to the job to make a check? Come on, somebody. How you going, oh, Lord, Jesus, help me. How you going to lock somebody up take their driver's license away. I know child support is a sticking issue for some folk, and I ain't trying to be offensive. And if you offended by my comments on today, maybe today ain't the day for you and TTLO to be together. How's he ever? Comma. I got to talk about it. Because, see, some stuff just don't make no kind of sense. Some stuff just don't make no kind of sense. Help me, Holy Ghost. Can somebody explain to me how that's even justified? Let me open up the chat room because I know y'all can hear me now on Facebook Live. Praise Jesus. I know y'all can hear me now. Can somebody help me? My. It is about the dumbest thing I've ever seen in all of my whole black life. And I've been black since May 5th, 1970 at 7:25 on a Tuesday morning. I've been black since then. So that ain't made it ain't made sense to me ever. Ever. Now don't get me wrong. Y'all brothers need to pay for. You need to make a payment now. You need to make a payment. You need to pay what you owe. Don't get me wrong now. Don't. I'm not saying that. I ain't arguing. I ain't on here to argue about paying. That ain't my conversation. So don't take this and twist it. Don't run back and say Dana said this and he said this on the air. Don't lie on me. What I'm saying is this. If you're working, I don't care if you got the flip burgers at McDonald's, send a couple dollars, man. Send some money. Pay for a haircut or two. Pay for something. Do what you can. There's some of y'all out here. I know some of you low down dirty dogs. I know some of y'all. I'm gonna talk about my brothers for a minute. I don't want the sisters to think I'm just jumping on them. I don't want your sisters to think I'm just jumping on them. But you know, some of you brothers, y'all will quit a job in a minute. Y'all will hide some money somewhere. Y'all ain't right. Y'all ain't right. Pay something. Send somebody something, man. Man, look, you know, I know you got bills to pay. Send something. Don't not pay nothing. Now I pray for some of y'all. You know, come on now. I pray because I know some of y'all got some hefty child support bills. I know what a hefty bill looked like because I had to pay. And I'm gonna say it again: $764.92 every 2 weeks. Y'all talk about it if you want to. Come on now. $764.92. Can we talk about it? Every 2 weeks. Come on. Let me. My God. Show had to pay it. And was never late. Can I say that? They took it out. Took it right out of brother's check before I could think about it. They took it right out of my check. $764.92. Everybody who listens to this show know that number. It ought to be part. We need to put it on the logo back here. 17. But can we talk about something though? Part of the reason you right. And I can tell y'all right now, my $764.92. Huh? Paid for a couple of trips to Vegas. Should I move on? I know I should move on. I'm gonna get myself. It paid for some Vegas trips. It paid for a brand new motorcycle. Not one that my son rode. But he didn't go to Vegas either. But it paid for some Vegas trips. It paid for a brand new motorcycle. It paid for all types of stuff. It paid for, you know. My God, let me move on. Let me move on. I'm gonna take a break. Where's my producer at? She knows she's supposed to be here talking about some. You need to stop. Where's you at? You're supposed to be paying attention to what's going on around here. Oh my. Look here, y'all. Look here, y'all. I'm going to take a quick break when we come back. Yeah, yeah, Alex. Yeah, 764.92. That's it right there. Do the math. Just a little bit shy of 1,500. Y'all talk about it. Don't tell me. Tell the man at the courthouse. But oh, as they say on Easter round, on when as they say on Resurrection Sunday, but oh, on Sunday morning, when I went to the courthouse on August, what they say on August the 1st, 2014. Can we talk about it? Can I get some music? On August the 1st, 2014. The young judge, Malinowitz, bless her heart. She said to me, she said, sir, your child has reached the emancipation age. That's what she said. She said, sir, your child has reached the edge of emancipation. And unless he plans to attend some higher education, unless he plans, she said, your obligation, as far as we are concerned, as far as the law, allows, has ended. And I said, Judge, are you sure? She said, yes, sir. And even though, can we talk about it? The devil, come on, somebody. The devil tried to get busy. Come on, y'all. The devil tried to get busy and restart that thing. Can we talk about it? He tried to get busy and restart that thing. But, oh, there was a ram in the bush. The judge said, no. If ain't no school, it ain't happening. She said, sir, you can leave this courthouse. Come on now. She said, sir, you can leave. I said, ma'am, look, I don't want to have to come back in here if they try to refile. She said, let me tell you something. It's over. The case is closed. She said, it's in the book. It ain't going to get reopened. It's done. It's dead. You going to bet? I said, now you sure? She said, sir, please leave my courtroom. This case is dismissed. I said, thank you. God bless you. And the Lord going to bless you real, real good. And I promise you, I gave the Lord a good praise break two-step. I gave the Lord a two-step in the courthouse. Y'all going to get me in trouble. It is praise break Friday. I'm going to get up out of here right now. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to jump right into we're going to jump right into today's conversation. We're going to be right back, y'all. TTLO Radio. Come on, somebody.
You want to wait for a manifestation or something else to happen. What you working with? Tap your neighbor and say, what you working with? Tell him I can't wait for tomorrow. Because he's been too good. Because somebody's going to think you crazy in a minute. Now, has God really been that good to you? Has he really been that good to you? One more time, so that you can let the enemy know that you still got the victory. One, two, three, go! One more thing he's done. One, two, three, go!
Come on, look. I know. Alex say he got the whole barbershop watching. Alex, come on, man. Don't just. He got the whole barbershop watching. I'm sorry. Y'all know I get a little excited. It's Friday, and I just had to get that out. I'm sorry. I know I don't want to get nobody upset. The New Status Barber. That's the name of the shop, New Status. Come on, man. Let me hook a brother up, man. Y'all, the New Status Barbershop. What's the address? I'll give y'all a little plug real quick. I ain't got no harm in it. What's that? 703 South 5th Avenue in Maywood, Illinois. Got the New Status Barbershop. There it is. New Status Barber. 703 South 5th Avenue in Maywood. Okay, that's the last time I'm going to read the address, because if I read again, I'm going to have to charge y'all a couple dollars for that. For that advertisement. I don't want to get in trouble with my people. If I read it again, y'all got to send a brother a little donation or something. Send me a couple dollars or a pair of clippers or something, you know. My. Okay, y'all. I can't read it no more, man. I can't read the address no more. I can't read it no more. Now, the people can see it on the screen. I ain't going to read it no more. Because if I read it again, I'm going to have to charge y'all a little something. I'm going to charge y'all a couple dollars. That's called advertising and commercial dollars. Yeah, come on now. Let's, you know. Anyway, look, y'all. I know we're just having fun, but we got to get to this article, right? We do have a great article for today. We have a really, really good article, actually. And it's good stuff. And I want to make sure I have enough time for it. I probably didn't talk too long about this other craziness. Yeah, so I'm gonna make sure I get to it. But it is good. It's a really good article. And man, I'm excited about it. It's the article is entitled "Three Dangerous Assumptions for Worship Leaders." Three dangerous assumptions for a worship leader. You think you got some liners for me? Okay, Doc. Okay. You got some liners for me. Okay. Three dangerous assumptions of worship. Let me get y'all the article. Y'all know how we do. We like to share the article with you all. And, man, if you haven't already, share the video. Share the video. Facebook Live, do me a favor. Don't just watch. You got to share the video. Hit the share button when you're doing this. Hit the share button. But here is the article. I just shared it with y'all on Facebook Live. Let me share with my peoples over here on the stream. Make sure y'all got it on the stream. Okay, y'all do have it on the stream. Yes, sir. There we go. All right. So we got this great article, man. Right? It reads this. This is a new website. Found this the other day. It's called worshiptogether.com. Worshiptogether.com is the website. And this is real good. The writer is Chris Voucher. He says, three dangerous assumptions for worship leaders. This is what he says. He says, worship leaders in general are artists. Artists in general tend to be emotionally invested in their own situation. Emotional investment in general results in assumptions which have varying degrees of truthiness. He says, and we all know what happens when we assume. He says, I've been leading worship for almost 20 years, and I certainly fall into the category of emotionally invested artists. That's good stuff. He says, time and time again, I'm reminded that there are assumptions that I make. He says, there are assumptions I used to make, and there will be assumptions I will make in the future, which are wrong, unhealthy, and potentially dangerous. He says, not dangerous in the sense of look both ways before you cross the street or don't stick that fork in the electrical outlet, but dangerous in the sense that our hearts can become callous. Our passions can fade, and our sense of entitlement can grow over time. Dangerous, especially for those of us called to lead God's people in worship. So let me outline three of these dangerous assumptions that I've seen worship leaders, including myself, the writer says, make and give some solutions which will be helpful to you. Okay, so here we go. The first one is this. Oh, my God. And this one right here, can I raise my hand and say guilty? Before I even go any further, See, let me tell y'all something. See, I read these articles, and I don't read them to pick on people, because a lot of times I read these articles, and they slap me before they slap you. Can I tell the truth? A lot of times, a lot of the information that I give y'all slaps me before it slaps you. So trust me, if I'm stepping on some toes, I done already hit my pinky toe before I got to yours. Amen? Amen. So let's go. This is what he says. The first one, assumption we need to get over. Assuming the crowd is ready to worship. Assuming the crowd is ready to worship. My. That's what the writer says. He says, this for me is the easiest trap to fall into. He says, I've led worship with this assumption far too many times that I'm willing to admit, but I've also been on the other side where I'm part of the congregation where the worship leader simply assumed from the very beginning of the service that I and the rest of the crowd were ready to worship. Wow. Wow. He says, sure, I've shown up to church and I'm in my seat, and I saw the countdown video. I heard your opening line, but that doesn't mean I'm ready to worship. Wow. This is good. This is good. He says, sure. He says, my mind is running. My day has been rushed. My wife and I had an airing of grievances last night. My boss is a jerk. My kids have had 3 birthday parties this afternoon, and my doctor called me on Friday with some bad news. Don't just assume I'm ready to worship. Wow. Y'all don't miss that. My. Don't, oh my God, don't miss that. This, whoo, boy. Then he says, we sing songs of sacrifice and surrender, songs that celebrate God's work throughout history, songs that tell the sweet story of the life of Jesus, but they're just words, just songs, just sounds filling the room if they're not being poured at as a response to the great sacrifice, the greatest surrender, the greatest work, the greatest life. He says, point me to that story just like you did last Sunday, just like you've done every Sunday for the last year after year. Keep inviting me back and calling me to worship. He says, worship leaders need to invite people, remind them, call them to worship. Tell them again how great God is. Open the Bible and read some of the majestic, beautiful, powerful poetry that speaks of the majesty, beauty, and power of God. Take me away from my distractions and point me to Jesus. Call me to worship. Woo, Jesus. Come on, somebody. See, this is educational right here. Y'all don't miss this. Because can we talk? Can we talk? Can we talk, church? Can we talk for a minute? I can tell you this right now, as a preacher and as a person who has been a part of a praise team for years, the biggest assumption that I could make is that when I stand up to sing, that you're ready to hear it. The biggest assumption that we can make as preachers and ministers of the gospel is to stand up and believe you are ready to hear what it is we have to say. The biggest mistake we can make is that we believe that you walked into the door ready and willing to worship. Now, I know the assumption is there because you assume that everybody that came to church to have church. That's the assumption. But we're wrong to assume that. I know why we think it, but we're wrong to assume it. We're wrong to assume it. Because we cannot believe that everybody who walked in the door on Sunday came in excited about being there. We cannot believe that everyone who is sitting in the pews is excited about being there and excited about what's about to happen for the next 90 minutes to 2 hours. We cannot believe that. We have got to get to a place where we no longer assume. He says, how do we do that? He says, as a default, Psalm 121 is my go-to call of worship. He says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. That's a question. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who has made the heaven and earth. He says, he will not let your foot be moved. He will keep you. You will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will not neither sleep nor slumber. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade and your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. Me, my God. He says, worship leader, you read that for me at the beginning of your service. And if I choose, I'm ready. Wow. He says, you've acknowledged my distractions in the hills around me. You've reminded me that my God is bigger than the altars and idols in my life. He says, I'm brought back to the help of the Lord, and we've acknowledged together that my time on this earth is fading and that there is a greater going out and coming in is yet to come. Just don't assume that I'm ready to worship. Wow. Wow. My. Don't assume that I'm ready to worship. This is good. This is good. We got a few minutes. We're going to get through this. The second one is, he says, assuming the crowd hates me. Assuming that the crowd hates me, or rather assuming that the crowd really don't want to hear what I got to say. He says, not that artists would ever get their identity wrapped up in their artistry, but another assumption I would have, or I've had and continue to deal with, is this idea that if people aren't singing, if people aren't engaged, if people aren't relevant in the sweet presence of Jesus during their time of worship, it means they must hate me and are angry with me for trying to force them to be a part of the service. Wow. This is educational. Wow, my. He says, I've said it myself, and I've heard others say after worship service that people just seem to be angry. He says, it seems like people are staring you down, challenging you to work your worship magic and just to try to get me to sing. Kind of like this game of worship chicken, who will blink first? Wow. This right here? Woo, my. He says, worship leaders, remember that even though I just told you to invite me into worship and not to assume that I'm ready, it's still up to me whether or not I'm willing to participate. He says, I get to choose if I'm going to unfold my arms, allow a smile to creep across my face, and be aware of the incredible presence of God who promises to inhabit the praises of his people. Choosing to worship is my choice, not yours. Oh, this is blessing me. Oh, this is blessing me, y'all. This is blessing me. I don't want y'all to miss this. This is blessing me. So he says, so if I choose not to sing, if I choose not to engage, if I choose not to worship, then let the consequence of that decision rest with me. He says, I choose to miss the blessing and the work of God in that moment. I choose to disengage from the community of worshipers which surround me. I choose to let go of the opportunity of again retelling the love, grace, and mercy of Jesus through song. So, no, I don't hate you, but I might not love Jesus as much as I used to. Oh, my God. Or at least maybe not as much as I try to convince myself and others that I do. Oh, my Lord. He says, worship leader, keep inviting me to worship. Keep singing songs that take me away from the hardness of my own heart. Keep the joy of the Lord present on your face. And maybe, if I choose, I'll see that and recognize it and allow the Spirit to soften my heart to see how good and how merciful and tender he is. Let me tell y'all something. This going to set some praise team folk free. This going to set some musicians free. This going to set some ministers of music free. This going to set some praise team leaders free. This is going to set some folks free today. I'm telling you, my God, this going to set some folk free. Y'all don't miss this thing right here today. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. My. Assuming folks want to. Because you know what? We do. We go to church, and as preachers and singers and choir members, we assume that the people sitting in the congregation are on the same mindset that we are. We have all made that same assumption. I am so grateful for the writer of this article. Again, we're talking about three dangerous assumptions for worship leaders. If y'all watching, man, I see people coming in and out of the chat room. Those of you watching me on Facebook Live, those of you listening on Ustream, those of you watching me on Ustream right now, those of you listening on the radio show, Blog Talk Radio, man, y'all come in the room, say something, because some of you all are watching and we're not friends, so I don't know who you are. So, you know, but if you want to say something, you know, feel free to type. I don't know if it'll actually allow you to type, but it should allow you to type. But type in your comments, man. If you got something to say, you want to respond, please feel free to say something. I haven't been checking the emails. I'm so sorry. Let me make sure I don't miss no email. Okay. All right. I ain't missed nothing. All right, let's go. Last one. What we got? We got 7 minutes. We good. He says this. Another assumption we do is assuming the worship depends on me. Assuming the worship depends on me. Watch this. He says, oh man, this one is a doozy on so many levels. He says, again, I'm pointing the finger at myself here and saying there are times when worship leaders will begin to think that a powerful blow the roof off the place Spirit of God encounter is not only possible, but is somehow related to my performance and my ability. He says, if I choose the right songs, if I don't break a string, if I give the right encouragement at the right moment, if I hit that key change in just the right spot, then look out. Jesus is very lucky to have me leading his people in worship today. You're welcome, Jesus. That's some arrogance, ain't it? He says, but watch this. It's true. He says, we can fall into this trap of thinking that somehow the caliber of our church's worship potential rests on the shoulders of our worship team and whether or not we get all the pieces to fit in just the right place. He says, now this isn't to say that worship leaders don't have a responsibility to lead and to encourage. We do. He says, but there's an opportunity and a call to leadership which involves standing in front of our congregation, pointing them to Jesus, using songs and scriptures to stir their hearts and emotions, then encourage them to sing and worship to see the Lord. Wow. But watch this. He says, but that responsibility and call to lead worship is about Jesus, not about me. It's about Jesus and not about me. Oh, my God. Watch this, Lord. Ooh, Jesus. He says, so watch this. He says, Where do we go? Okay. He says, so what's the danger? The reason the church has done just fine without you, thank you very much, for the last 2,000 years and will continue to thrive is because, watch this now, is because long after you're dead and buried, there's a core reality that is not about you. Worship, leading, being about you begins to grow this sixth sense of entitlement. It makes us think that we're better than what we really are. Because, see, we start to think because they're clapping that they're clapping for you. And I say this all the time. Don't clap for me. Clap for Jesus. Don't say amen because of what I'm preaching. Say amen because of the word of God that I'm sharing. Mm-hmm. That's truth. Say amen because of the word of God that I'm sharing, not because of what I'm actually preaching. Come on, somebody. Watch this. Then he says this. He says, we don't start there. He says, naturally, but it's the same with all the heart issues, which begin with small thoughts and nudges of, I wish it were this way, and isn't the church lucky to have me, and grows over time to an attitude of selfishness and idolatry of our own role and position. He says, how do we deal with this one? Let me say this as a friend and as a fellow worshiper, fellow follower of Jesus. He says, I have seen too many passionate, dedicated, talented worship leaders fall into the wayside, losing their own opportunity to lead God's people into worship because of a sense of entitlement has grew far too large, and they begin to believe the lie that their church's worship was in some way because of them. My. Don't y'all miss this thing. Ooh, don't miss this thing. Don't miss this thing. Look, y'all, we got about 3 minutes. We got about 3 minutes left. I'm going to try to finish this thing. My. Ooh, Lord. Let's keep going. I'm trying to reach my producer on the chat line, but I don't seem to be able to find the Lord. Y'all help a brother out? Okay. All right. Let's see here. It says, watch this. The only answer to it is to kill it. The only answer is to kill it. Put it to death. Deal harshly and swiftly with your own pride and arrogance in this area. He says, fall on your face before Jesus and someone you trust and ask for forgiveness. He says, take time away from the proverbial spotlight if you need to. If the spotlight is not a proverbial but a reality, increase the seriousness of this request 10 times. He says, go back to photocopying music for someone else's worship team. Go back to filling cups of juice for communion. Go back to washing toilets after junior high retreat. Do anything that grows your humility and love for Jesus and his church. Don't let your pride kill you. My. Ooh, Lord. This here. This here is blessing me. So then this. This is how we end it. He says, in all things, grace. In all things. Grace. He says, this is the beauty of the story we have entered. To be caught is the assumption trap. With ourselves or with others can be quickly undone thanks to the grace of Jesus and the grace we have toward one another. Don't let the assumptions kill you. Don't let the assumptions kill you. My. Oh, Lord, this here is good. And at the end, he says, don't be a donkey. Because you know what they say about assumption. When you assume, you make an ass out of you and me. Assumptions. Come on, somebody. I got to tell it like it is. Don't get mad. Don't get mad at me. Ain't nobody mad but the devil. Come on. It ain't about you. You're right. Oh, my God, this is good. This was amazing. This here, I can tell you this right now. This is one of the best praise and worship articles we have ever done on this show. Seriously. This is one of the best praise and worship articles we have ever done on this show. Because it highlights so much of the things that we as praise leaders and as pastors and preachers and ministers, so many things that we automatically assume. Man, so big shout out to Chris. Vacher is his name. He's from Canada, actually. He has his own blog, Chris Vacher. Chris from Canada. Man, this has been absolutely amazing. Look, y'all, it's been a great show, man. It's been a great show. So, look, I'm getting ready to get out of here. The time has been wonderfully spent. Y'all have blessed me. All the comments on here are amazing. Y'all on Facebook, I appreciate y'all. Those of you who were trying to watch on Ustream, I do apologize for the sound going out. And coming back in, I'm not sure what was going on with it. I do apologize for that. But man, it was good. It was an excellent show today. Y'all blessed me. So look, we're gonna get out of here. Let us pray real quick. Father God, we thank you for everything that you've done, God. We thank you for the blessings that you've continued to bestow on us, God. We just thank you for being sovereign, God. We just thank you for being sovereign. We thank you for being omnipotent, God. We thank you for being omniscient. We thank you for being omnipresent. We just thank you for just being you. Now, God, we ask that you would bless every listener that has taken the time out of their day to listen to this show today. God, we ask that you would increase their, we ask that you would just give them increase on everything that they're doing, God. We thank those that are listening all across the country right now, God. We even thank those that are listening on the other side of the planet right now, God. We thank you for every listener, God. We thank you for every viewer on Ustream. Those that tried to watch and could not hear, we thank you anyway, God. We thank you for those listening and watching on Facebook right now. God, we know that they're at work and they have things that they could be doing, but they take the time out. We thank you right now for them, Father. God, we thank you for everyone that commented, God. God, we thank you for new listeners, God. We thank you for the brethren. I'm going to say it one more time, God, because you say it's right to do and it's okay, God. We thank you for those listening at the New Status Barbershop, God, in Maywood. God, we thank you for them. We thank you for every new listeners, God. We thank you for even those who are listening who I don't know, those who are watching on Facebook right now, God, those who are watching me right now. We thank you for them who came into the room and didn't even speak, but, God, we thank you for them watching right now. God, we thank you for this community that you've placed us in, God. We thank you for Kingdom Baptist Church. God, we ask that you would continue to keep your arms around them, God, around us here at the church, God, and we thank you for those of us who work here at TTLO Radio, God. We thank you for taking the limits off radio. God, we thank you for the things you allow us to do, and we thank you for this medium that you've blessed us with to spread your word. God, it is because of you that we are here, and it's because of you we will continue to be here. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, y'all, look, it's been a good show. This was good. I know I went off on a tangent. I'm sorry. I know I went off on a tangent. It's been good, but hey, y'all, look, got a busy weekend this week, right? I got another wedding I got to perform. You know it? I got a wedding to perform. I got to perform the wedding of Mr. Alvin. I done messed up the boy's last name already. That's a dang on shame. Morris, thank you. The wedding of Alvin and Gabrielle. I'll be performing that wedding this Sunday evening, somewhere out in Villa Park. Guess I need to get the address if I'm doing it right. But I'll be performing that wedding on Sunday evening. And then on Saturday, I'll be at the bowling alley at Burr Oak trying to get some revenge because we got our butts handed to us last week. Got swept. I mean, they beat us down like we had, oh my God, it was ugly. But anyway, y'all pray for the preacher. Got a busy weekend, got some stuff to do. Got a rehearsal tonight, actually, for the wedding. So y'all pray for me, man. It's going to be a busy weekend. But God is good. And he's good all the time. And if you're in the city of Chicago, as I say every week, if you got to be out there in the city, please be careful and keep your head on a swivel. We out of here, y'all. TTLO. Stay blessed.
You know what? That's just what I figured. If you can't get happy about your testimony, nobody else can. But some of you been at death's door. Some of you God paid your bills. Some of you God healed your body. Some of you, the Lord changed your mind. Some of you, God made a way out of no way. Shake somebody's hand and say, neighbor, he's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. Now give God a shabbat in this house. Hey! Woo! When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. As a matter of fact, I feel the Holy Ghost now because of your praise. God said, I just turned it around for you. And I know it's tight where you are. But if you believe God's going to turn it around, get up out of your seat and turn around one time and say, God has already fixed it. God has already turned it around.